Good morning. If you will, please turn this morning with me to Exodus chapter 20. If you are new with us, we are in a study this summer of the Ten Commandments. We are in Commandment 4. Some of you are saying, great, Commandment 4. Commandment 4 is to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. It has been referred to in modern times as the command we love to hate, because it's the one that we would do away with so often. But I want you to see the beauty of God's commandments, because as we have been going through this series, one of the things we have been pressing is the point of the beauty of the law as its fulfillment in Christ. Jesus transforms the law in its essence so that we may know Him, that we may respond to Him. The law does not save us. Christ saves us. But Christ saves us to be a people who pursue Him. And we pursue Him by doing that which honors Him in the law. Romans 10. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. But also Mark 2, as we come to the Sabbath today, what we see is that Jesus claims is that He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And Jesus doesn't make Himself Lord over something that is passing away, but something that is important. And what I want you to see today is the beauty of holy rest. How this commandment is transformed in Christ, how this commandment is fulfilled in Christ, how this commandment is our delight in Christ. So I would ask you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 20 and hear the Word of God. Here is the command of our Lord to His people. Verse 8 through verse 11. Fourth commandment is the longest commandment. One of the things you will notice is that it does not start, "Thou shalt not." It's one of the few commandments that is placed in the positive, so that we might see the beauty of that day. Verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work. You shall not do any work, or your sons, or your daughters, or your male servants, or your female servants, or your livestock, or your sojourners, who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have given us a day of rest and gladness. That You have given us a day to draw near to You, that You might be first. We thank You, Father, that You are a provision. That amidst the toil of our life, You have given us Yourself that we may rejoice. In this hour, would You lift our hearts to see the beauty of the gifts You give in Christ and in Christ's Sabbath, the Lord's Day. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ben Patterson is a contributing editor for Christianity Today. In an article that he wrote a few years back, he wrote this: "Days of work makes 1 week." W-E-A-K. Makes 1 week. Yeah, we struggle in our culture with the frenzy and fatigue of the pace of life. I want to say right up front that the reason that God has given us a day to depart from the toil and work and even the hobbies of life, He's given us a day for freedom to rest in Christ. There is freedom in the Sabbath. There is freedom in the Lord's Day. And that is what I think the text would draw us to see, the beauty of the gift that God gives. God is sovereign over us. In the commandments, we have seen so far that God is sovereign over us. He is sovereign over worship. He desires, commandment one, that we would worship only Him. He desires that we would worship only Him in the right way, commandment two. And He desires sovereignty in our words. He wants us to reverence rightly. And here's the fourth commandment. He claims even sovereignty over our time. God is sovereign over your days, over your lifespan, over your time. He's called us to give Him 1 in 7 for His glory as a reminder to us that He is sovereign over our time, but as a picture of rest, that we may rest in the Lord because He is sovereign over time. Now there comes the rub for some of us, doesn't it? We don't like to be told what to do with our time. It starts at the age, and it only goes on. We would like to be in charge of our own time. We would like to direct our own time. And so we fail to see the beauty of God's rest. Why? Because we live in an economy that's a seven-day-a-week economy, right? We live in a world that is on the go all the time. As a matter of fact, I believe if you were just to go out and do your random survey, if you were to ask five people alongside the street, what is Sunday, you would probably get five very different responses. I'm sure if you went to the retailer and asked, what is Sunday, he would say, Sunday is a good day. It is profitable. I have less labor on Sunday and more profit on Sunday. Sunday's a good day. It's a day for profits. You know, if you went to the weekend warrior, the person who is out to conquer, you know, whether it's through marathons or soccer tournaments or whatever it is that you're getting, you know, what's Sunday? Sunday's the day of finals. If you make it to Sunday, it's a good day because that shows that you're a winner. That's what Sunday is. You know, if you ask the businessman, what is Sunday? Well, Sunday might be for him preparation for the next big sales meeting he has, the review of the account to come, Sunday to get ready for the onslaught of the week that is before you. But what is Sunday for the Christian? What are we told in Scripture that Sunday is for the believer? Well, Sunday for the believer is a day to come apart, to separate, to enjoy God and His benefits. When we consider that, that's a challenge for some of us, isn't it? It's a challenge for us to see that. Why? Because we often prefer a holy hour to a holy day. I mean, if truth be told, there are many of us in here who would prefer that it was really a Saturday than Sunday. What do you mean by that? We would rather have a second day of the weekend to do what we want to do, to pursue what we want to do, to get along as we want to get along, so that we focus on our lives. But I want you to see that really the beauty of the Lord's Day is that He has given you freedom to start and to focus on Him. That is the day of rest and gladness. That is the day where we come and we set aside. God has said, you got to realize, who was this written to? This is written to former slaves, right? Who have been the tyranny of enslavement in Egypt. And all of a sudden, God comes and He says, take a day and focus on Me. No work. In the wilderness, He even provided their food so they wouldn't have to go out and gather food. No work. Can't you just say, oh, no. I'm going to get bored. It's going to be terrible. It will be such a burden to not be able to work 24/7. Now, what I want you to see is it was a real gift to God's people. And I want you to see that it's a real gift to you. If you have boredom on the Lord's Day, it's because you're not using it the right way. If you are burdened on the Lord's Day, it's probably because you have too many things cluttering that day. But here's the beauty of God's day. 1 in 7. 6 days you shall work, but 1 in 7, you will give that day to the Lord. But just so you can complete a list of do's and don'ts? No. So that you can commune with God and God's people in a wonderful way. Now, I want us to see in this text the beauty of that, because I do believe for many of us, even Christians, we struggle with two common errors when it comes to the Lord's Day. You know, Jesus, some will say that Jesus did away with the Sabbath. I humbly agree. I think Jesus, He asserted His lordship over the Sabbath. You see that in Mark 2, and He did proclaim that the Sabbath was for man. Man is not for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is man. What Jesus was doing was correcting one of the common errors that is common with the Lord's Day, and that is to make merely the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, a list of do's and don'ts. The prevailing religious observance of the day was very particular about how you kept the Lord's Day. So particular that they could mark out 1,521 things you were to do or not. Now, wouldn't you like me to spend the rest of the sermon giving you that list? Some of you think I preach for a while now. That list. But that's very particular. And Jesus comes, and when Jesus deals with the Sabbath, he is almost always setting it against the legalism of the day, the list of do's and don'ts of the day. He is setting it against that which is being robbed from his people. He is correcting the abuses of the Sabbath. You see, the Lord's Day is not merely a list of do's and don'ts. You will never subscribe to honoring God rightly if you just define what you must do and what you can't do. Why? Because what's behind the Lord's Day is the Lord Himself. You see, it is the Creator Redeemer who comes and says, "Come and put your focus on me." The Lord's Day is primarily about this, that we dedicate our hearts and our lives to Christ. It is a day of dedication to God. And that's what I would ask you. When you look at Sunday, are you refreshed by Sunday? I offer you this challenge. You will find yourself refreshed by Sunday if you make the Lord the object of Sunday. Not the do's, not the don'ts, but Jesus. Asking yourself, how is my day spent in focus on the Savior? You may say, well, you know, wait, I can do that in an hour. Well, you better get used to doing it more because you're going to do it for eternity if you're His. It will be the primary consideration of eternity. And so it's good for you to act on it now. God's day. Why God's day? A day of rest and gladness because it's a day for God. Error number one, we will not boil it down to a list of do's and don'ts. But error number two, places the Lord's Day in a pair of vice grips and squeezes the life out of it because your focus becomes what you must or must not do. But the second error becomes the error of license. It's not the legalistic error, it's the licentiate. You know, God has made it a day of liberty so that we may enjoy our freedom in Christ. But there are certain fences around the Lord's Day, right? We live in a culture that would knock down all those fences, right? You know, what do we do on Sunday? We go to church. And after church, what do? Whatever you want. That's not so uncommon. And I'm speaking to us. Why is that? Because in that sense, we have lost the grandness of God in God's day. It is a day of holy rest. It is a day to come apart and to rest, but it's a day of holy rest. The Lord says, sanctify the day. Set the day apart. Come unto me. There you will find rest. You know, many of us have burdened hearts. You know, we feel from the week, we feel challenged. Why? Because when we pursue God's day, one of the reasons is because when we pursue God's day only for our amusements, we miss musing or focusing our attention upon God. And God wants our attention. And He wants our best. And He calls us to Himself. You see, Sunday is not merely a second Saturday, which you want. In the biblical economy, Sunday is a day where you rest physically, emotionally, but most importantly, spiritually, so that you may be refreshed in the Lord. Now, I want you to see that in a couple of ways this morning. First, I want you to see it in verse 8 as we look at God's command for holy rest. God's command for holy rest. Here's the command. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. See there, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That is a command, right? What are we to do? We're to remember the day. We are to keep it holy. What does that mean? We're to set it aside. This is a day unto the Lord. When I played soccer in college, I played for a small college, King College. You're saying you're too big to be a soccer player. Big is good when you're a goalkeeper. Gravity works to your advantage. You get down faster. Not always up faster, but there's some advantages there. So we would play, and the team that I played with was, I was one of five Americans my freshman year, and it was highly, so we were good is what I'm telling you. We had several team guys who had played for their national team, and we regularly beat Division I teams, though we were a school of about 550. Every year we played Virginia Tech, Radford University, University of Tennessee, and most of the time we won. Well, it came one year we had the opportunity to play what was one of the five best teams in the country, Division I at that time, and they were going to pay us to come play. The only catch was it was on Sunday. It was a power-ranked ACC team, and we were excited about it. You know, to be the dragon slayer, we were going to knock off the big dogs. And so the team was pretty excited about it, but this had to make its way through the chain of command. And when it got to the president's desk of this small Christian college, he said, no. The coach decided, I can go to bat for this. You know, they're going to pay us several thousand dollars. That could mean uniforms. It's a third of our traveling expense for the year. You know, small colleges are always on the shoestring budget when it comes to sports. And the president, Dr. Carlton, he said, no. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, Dr. Carlton had been a businessman for many years, and that was his principle in business. And he wouldn't allow it to change. He wouldn't allow profit margin to overtake what he saw as God's command. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I mean, how do we profane or take lightly? Or it's when we take that day and we worry more about plans and procurements than we do about God's grace and mercy. What I want you to see here is that the beauty of this day is that we are commanded to stop. That's what the word Sabbath means, by the way. The Hebrew word Shabbat, that word is a word that comes to us. God is telling us to Shabbat one day in seven. We are to stop, to cease, to desist, to rest. It's the fullness of the meaning of this. You are to stop something in order to enjoy something. Remember the Sabbath day. As a matter of fact, the word there for remember is actually, if we were to do it in the English, it would be what we call a gerund, for those who are English busting. It comes along in remembering. It's not really remember the Sabbath, it's remembering the Sabbath day. It's something that you are already doing. It's formalizing which the people of God were already doing. Why? Because we see later the reason for the Sabbath is what? God rested in creation. We'll get there in a second. But even this people, the people of Israel, as they had come out, they had already begun to honor the Sabbath day, to set it apart. You can go back a little later and look in Exodus chapter 6. It was part of the warp and woof of life to set apart the Lord's day, remembering the Sabbath. The command here is to stop something. In its most basic, what does that mean? What does it mean? What are we to stop? Well, you're accountant. Means you don't do tax returns on the Lord's Day. If you're a businessman, you don't research the profit line on the Lord's Day. If you're a housewife, you're the one who might really like this. You get to come away from the daily duties. Yeah, I realize the kids still have to eat. That's okay. You can feed them. But maybe rinse the dishes off and put them aside for tomorrow. You have to do dishes. It's okay if the beds aren't all made. Come away for a day. Enjoy the Lord. And for the students, it means you come away from your chief of occupations. Don't study. Wait, I can't make it through university without studying on the Sabbath. Well, I made it through two masters after I was challenged not to study on the Sabbath. And I will tell you, it only helped. It didn't hurt. Thing. The command is to cease something. What is it to cease? It is to cease that by which your life is occupied. Why? Because the day is not given up in productivity. At one time, I just forgot his name. He's very wealthy and he invented Microsoft. What's his name? Thank you, Bill Gates. I knew y'all would know. Bill Gates, he reflected upon the Sabbath and he said, you know, the main problem with the Sabbath is that I lot better things with my time. To which someone came along and wrote a book entitled Sunday, A Royal Waste of Time. The Sabbath, a royal waste of time. The point is that we're not to be productive on the Lord's Day. When we come away from our striving, we come into His provision. When we come away from our work, we rest in His work. And there's the beauty of the Lord's Day. And that's why the fullness of what Christ is. Why? Because that is the essence of salvation, is it not? Resting. Resting in the Lord, in the provision of the cross, in the provision of a Savior, in the joy of the Lord we receive by faith. And on Sunday, we make that great. You see, here's what Sunday is. Sunday is the opportunity you have the daily struggles and strife to come away and to take a deep breath. How are you? Do you ever take a deep breath? Or are you always on the run? Do you need a deep breath? God said, here it is. 1 in 7. Come, take a deep breath. Inhale, exhale. Enjoy the day that I give. It's a day of freedom. It's a command. It is a command to cease, and we need to see that. Remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's a day where you go off the clock, as it were, so that you may rest on God's timetable and enjoy God's gifts. Secondly, I want you to see here that not only is God's command for holy rest, it's God's compassion in holy rest. Notice here in verses 9 and 10, 6 days you shall labor and all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner within your gates. What's the point here? The point is that is of great value and rest is of great value. You see, God has designed a certain design for human beings. We are not made to work 24-7, but we are made to work. We're not made to play 24-7 or rest 24-7. We are made to work, and we are made to rest. And we need this cycle within our life. 6 days you have for work, 1 day you have for rest. So do it. And care for those who are under your care. Help them to do it. It's a gift. It's the compassion of the Lord. He gives a day. Why? Because our God is not a tyrant. Our God is a true Father. And He cares about our soul. The Lord's Day, what is it? The Puritans would call it Market Day of the Soul. There were the days to do the business of life, and there was the day to do the business of the soul. It was the Market Day of the Soul. It was a gift of God's compassion to come away and to reflect upon the Lord. It was a gift. God is the King of His people, and He says, take this gift, rest in me. 6 days you shall work, 1 day you shall rest. It's best for you, so do it. Oh, there's a theology of work here, then, isn't there? We are a people who need to work. Why? Because we are created to work. I saw one Time magazine about work and how work is a necessary evil. Nobody likes to work. Work is a necessary evil. No, God created you to work. Before there was sin, there was work. And so we ought to enjoy the work. But we also ought to enjoy God in rest. His name was Harry Ironside. He was a pastor in the 20th century, well-known, a popular evangelist, preacher, and speaker. When he was young, his father died. And so when his father died, it put a certain burden upon him as a child because he wasn't in school. He had to go to work to help provide for the family. After school, he had a job. He would go to work. On vacation, when other kids were playing, he was at work. At one point in his young life, he came to work for a man who was a Scottish shoemaker. His name was Daniel Mackay. And he began to work with Daniel Mackay, who was making shoes. He was a cobbler, and so he would make shoes. And Iron's job as a boy was to take the cowhide, the water as it had been soaked, and he was to hit it, to bang it, beat it, as it were, on a piece of iron. It made the leather stronger. It made it more sturdy. It made the shoe last longer. That was his job, day in, day out. And as you can imagine, if you sat there with a hammer hitting on leather, you might get tired of that from time to time. And one day he happened by another cobbler shop, and he noticed, as he stood and watched this cobbler for a second, that he took the leather right out of the water, cut it, put it on the shoe, and nailed it in or sewed it in so that the shoe was done. Ironside went up to the man, and he said, do they last just as long doing that? And this other cobbler, with a wry little grin, looked at him and gave him a wink and said, well, no, they come back a little sooner. Ironside was taken by this. The young entrepreneur in him saw a profit margin, and so he went back to Mr. Mackay, and he said to him, you know, maybe we don't need to pound out this shoe leather. Maybe we could just do it this way. I was talking to this other cobbler, and he said, you know, they come back a little earlier. People don't seem to know. To which Daniel Mackay said, Harry, I don't make shoes for money. I make shoes to glorify God. When I stand before God in the judgment, I expect that there will be a pile of shoes there that I have made. And I do not want the Lord to say to me, Daniel, you could have done better. And then he opened the Bible for young Harry Ironside and turned to Colossians 3 and read to him, verse 23 and 24, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as a reward. You serve the Lord Christ. Work is valuable. Work hard, but rest well. That's what the text comes and tells. Work hard. We are to work hard in this life, but we need to rest well. And for that, God has given us a gift. It is the gift of His compassion. That we may rest. Notice here, you have 6 days for your labors. Does that mean I have to work every day, 6 days a week? No, it means you got 6 days to accomplish the task that God gives you, right? And once you've done that, come apart. You need the rest. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, a ceasing to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. And notice, to take care of those who are under us, right? Parents. You are to come away from work and to enjoy the Lord, but you're to help your children to do that as well, right? Notice, you shall not do any work, and your son or your daughter, they ought to not do any work. You know, my kids like Sunday. They don't have to do schoolwork. Kids like Sunday. They don't have to do chores, or at least the minimum of things. They do end up, you know, my son last night we were talking, you know, you don't have to do any chores on Sunday. Isn't that a good thing? Well, I still have to feed the dog. But I guess that's a necessary thing, isn't it, Dad? He got it. Works of necessity are not out. The coming away. You know, parents, for some of you, it might mean making hard choices. You know, my sons asked me, you know, Dad, why can't we play on the organized soccer team on Sunday, but we can play in the church backyard on Sunday night? Well, that's because as I have applied the Sabbath, I see one is an encroachment of the world on the Lord's day, seeking to take it away, the Lord's rest from him. The other I see is fellowship. It's not so much activity, it's the reason the activity is occurring that to me is for my children. Playing and having fun with church kids, well, that's okay. But when the coach comes and says, and I'm the one who has that conversation, I don't put my children, you know, tell them you can't come because it's the Lord's Day. Matter of fact, I've invited several coaches already who asked if my kids could play on Sunday when they said, I don't understand that. I said, well, let's sit down and talk about it over lunch. I'd be happy to talk with you about the Scripture. I'll bring my Bible and we'll sit down and talk. Now, none of them have taken me up on that offer just yet. But all of them, when they realized what a conviction it was for me, were glad to grant it. What's my point here? You may come up with different convictions in certain points, but this is what I want to... How do you protect the Lord's day for your children? How do you help them to see the beauty of the Lord and receive the rest of the Lord? But it's not just for your children. It's for those who are in your service. Notice, not only are your children not to work, but your servants are not to work. You think you're off scot-free here, don't you? Hey, I don't have any servants. I don't get to boss anybody around. Well, it's true. Most of us don't have servants these days. But all of us seek services, don't we? We just co-opt our servants. We just co-opt our services. And so what does the command mean? You know, give a break to the cleaner on Sunday. Give a break to the lawn care people on Sunday. Give a break to whoever works for you and serves you on Sunday. You might say, well, wait, that doesn't matter anyway. I'm not concerned about their heart first here. I'm concerned about yours. When you do what's right, they'll start asking questions and you can say, hey, look, we set apart a day to the Lord because we rejoice in the Lord. You see, you protect those under your care. Whether it be people or whether it be the animals that work for you or whether it be the visitor in your midst. You know, we are people of hospitality, and when people come and stay with us, they ought to see that Sunday's a little bit different in your house. You rejoice in the Lord. You see, there's what command is working its way, how it's fleshing out. Why? Because it's a day of compassion, so we can be compassionate to those around us. God is not a firm taskmaster. He is a loving master who seeks our best. And so He has made the rhythm of life, the very rhythm of your soul, needs 1 in 7 to focus on the Lord. Does that mean you don't focus on the other 6? Yes, you do. But you do it amidst the work. This day is amidst the freedom to serve the Lord. You see, don't rob yourself of God's tender compassion. Why? Because it's a command of compassion for your soul, a freedom to come away and to rest. You see, God's compassion in holy rest. But thirdly, I want you to see God's creation of holy rest. It's interesting here, I think, and important here that you understand that the structure of the command is really set upon a theological principle, right? It's practical. Don't work. See, stop. But it's a theological foundation that it rests upon. Why do we rest? Because God rested. Notice here in verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Notice here, the very picture of rest, the very picture of holy rest is ingrained where? It's ingrained in creation. God stopped. And so He tells us to stop. And why did God stop? Was God so tired from making everything? It wasn't because He was tired. It was because He was reflective. He had completed and now reflects on the beauty of what He makes. And that's exactly what you may not be tired every Sunday, but you have the opportunity to reflect on the creation and the work and the redemption of God. So reflect. Yeah, I think that's probably one of the greatest challenges for us. That though it's ingrained in our being because we were created to need rest, we usually substitute true musing, true reflection upon the Lord with amusements. What I mean by that is it's easier. You know what the word amusement comes from? Amuse. No thinking. Did you know that? The idea of musing is to think upon or to reflect upon, right? But we are a community of amusements. Now, please hear me. I'm not against enjoying things. I tried to go to Slitterbond this weekend. The rains wouldn't allow, and so I stood for 3 hours in a little arcade waiting for it to stop so my kids could ride water slides. I love amusement. But it can't be the governance of my life, and it can't be the governance of your life. No, and on a Sunday, we come away, even from those things which might take us away from the reflection of the Lord. That's why somebody's going to come out and ask me, "Wade, can I watch TV on Lord's Day?" Well, this is my question when you watch TV. Maybe you can. Sometimes I do. And when I reflect on it, I have to ask my question, how does this help me in the love of Christ? How does this help me in the rest the Savior offers? I'm not trying to give you a list that is exhaustive. You know, "Wait, can I go out to eat on Sunday?" You know, most everybody in the church who's been here knows we don't go out to eat on Sundays. That's part of how we keep the Lord's Day. Well, why do you do that, Wade? Is it, you know, I'm not going to become the truancy police. I'm not following you to Ken Martin's or Doubleday on your name. You're going to have to work that out. What does it mean? But for us, it's the picture of I do it every day, just about. And as I do that, I'm coming away from those who serve me in other ways. But really, it's what I'm coming to. We love to have people in our home on Sunday. We love the fellowship that it brings. We love the joy of combining hospitality and the joy of resting with people. And that's the opportunity we have. And sometimes we strike some good conversations in the midst. That's the beauty of the Lord's Day. When it's set apart, not to toil, but to rest, it's set apart that God can move and work. And we see that it is a build in redemption. I don't have time to take you there and show you. And it's realized in heaven. You can see Hebrews 4, Mark 2, Mark 16 for those. But here, notice it's in creation that it's set. Why? Because while man is the climax of creation, he is not the goal of creation. Man is the high mark of God's created order, right? God looks at man and it is good. He is the last thing created because he is the vice regent of creation. He is to have a control over creation under God. He is to be the wonder of creation, but he's not the goal of creation. God is the goal of creation. And so when we stop, even when we reflect upon our works, we still rest upon the Lord. Beloved, I see that I may be wearying some of your souls right now. And yet what I want you to see what I would plead with your heart is that on the next 3 months, that you take Sunday and you'd write on the top of your calendar, day of rest and gladness, and you would think everything you do on Sunday would come through that thought. That you would focus yourself on saying, okay, how can I rest a little better on this day? How can I seek God a little better on this day? How can I enjoy the gift God gives on this day? Yeah, I want you to literally do it. Palm Pilot, daytime, whatever you use. I want you to go and write it. And I want you to think about, well, Sunday's coming. How are we going to set this day apart to the enjoyment of the Lord? I'm not trying to harass you. As a matter of fact, in preaching, my goal is not to harass you, and it's not primarily just to make you happy with me. It's to share the truth of God. And God says, I have given you this day. It's a very picture of the bounty of completion in creation and the bounty of completion in redemption, and both you should reflect on. Do it well. I was in a church before here, one of the churches I worked in ministry one time. I was with an association of ministers, and we would kind of come apart and talk about how we were working within this community, reaching the Christ for community. And there was a guy, he was a Baptist minister, and his name was Mike. And Mike had a real zeal for the gospel. I really enjoyed him. He was a lot of fun. But he said one day he decided that he was going to get all these people who broke the Sabbath in this town, and he was going after them. So he decided that he was going to go out to the garden. And he stood on the third tee box, and when guys came up, he had a megaphone. I wish I could show you, Mike. It would be perfect if you could just... And he preached to them. You know, as they were hitting the ball, he would preach to them. I had a couple other friends that I was working with, because I still played a little soccer at that time, and they would invite me, they would pay the way, and I would travel and play goal for them. The guys, he was as pagan as he could be. He didn't care anything about Jesus, but we were good friends. He was a great guy. He was fun to be with. And every chance I had, we would try to broach the conversation. I would broach the conversation with life and Christ. And he would enjoy talking about that for a time. Then he'd usually just shut me down. One day he came in and he said, wait, I am so mad. He said, a couple of weeks ago, I just can't get over this. A couple of weeks ago, I was playing golf, and there was some guy there preaching to me on the thing. And so I turned and hit a golf ball at him. You know, you Christians are all the same. I said, do you really believe that? That we're all the same? Let's talk about that. Why would he do that? You know, I'm not saying Mike's approach. So I'm not trying to harass you this morning into fun. I'm trying to. I want you to see the beauty of a day set apart. I want you to see what it could benefit you. It will help you if you will see that this is the day that is God's holy day and not my play day. This is not a second Saturday. This is the opportunity for me to focus my attention on the Lord. I won't make the service 3 hours if you all get it. We'll stay at an hour and a half, okay? I'm not just trying to make the worship service longer. I'm trying to get you to see the fact that there is ongoing reflection. Hey, what if you get together with a group of people and let's talk about the sermon? You don't have to mention Pastor Wade at all. I don't care. But it would be good to talk. You know, did any of those principles? You know, I think he was off base here. Study Scripture. And then come and show me. If I miss it, show me. I'm happy to see. But maybe God's Word gets it right sometime and you need to reflect on it a little longer. Just a tidbit that you get in the sermon. It's the reflection that goes on in the day. Or you know, maybe last week three people told me, Wade, your sermon really helped me. You know, as you were preaching, I began to think about something. And it was different than what I was preaching on. And I love it when God works that way. You know, God can take those things and He can make it where He's at work. And He loves to work in your soul on Sunday. So instead of just getting through church and getting out and saying, what can I do? Why don't you say, how can I use this day to reflect on the beauties of God? To see the matchless worth of a Savior. To reflect on a redeeming love that has captured you and holds you and forces you to see that there is a majestic God beyond the travails and trials of this life, that there is a God who wants you. And so when you ask, Lord, how do I make the most of this day? It really becomes, Lord, how do I make the most of relationship with you? Sunday's not just something we get through, beloved. It's something we enjoy. Why? Because it's a day of freedom. Freedom from the burdens of your soul, the burdens of life, freedom to worship and serve and help. You see, I want some of you to get off that treadmill of the week. You know, it is running and running and running, and it will run you into the ground if you let it. But God says, no, rest. So wait, how can we keep the Lord today? Quickly, let me just give you a couple of things here. How can we keep it? Well, you begin by prioritizing God first. And so this is what I call you to do. This week, as you think about next Sunday, as you enjoy this day, this Sunday, as you think about the Sundays again, I call you to consecrate the day to communion. Here's the positive thing you set your life on. You set your life upon communion. Consecrate your day with communion. That should be punctuated with worship. You know, it'd be beautiful to have morning and evening with the Lord. But you ought to start and end the day with the Lord, particularly on the Lord's Day. That becomes the bookends, as it were, for the joy of receiving God. You know, it's corporate worship, but it's private worship. It's the joy of reflection. You know, some of you will tell me, wait, I never have time to read the Bible. God's given you today. He'll take care of the rest. Stop. I promise if you honor Him on this day, you've got an hour or two. You know, you can read the book of Hebrews in an hour. I know it took us 70-something sermons to preach it, but you can. Gospel of John, you can read it in an hour or two, and that might be an enjoyable Sunday afternoon. And God says, that's good. Reflect. Communion with God, but communion with one another. You know what we do more in this church? We need to hang out with one another. We really need one another. There are hurting souls here this morning. And if you don't know that, it's probably because you're not in tune with what's going on around you in the church. You know, saints, we need really love Christ. Need to hang out together sometime. And Sunday's a great day for it. Communion with the Lord, communion with one another. Consecrate. Just use the easy word. Set apart the day to communion. Enjoy one another in relationship. Enjoy conversation that's Godward. But also I want you to consecrate the day cheerfully. You know, if I had to read some of your faces sometimes just from the expression, I might like me. If you had to read my expression sometimes, I hear that I look a little stern sometimes. I don't mean to. When I think hard, I look stern. You know, but it's not a stern day. It's not a joyless day. It's a joy-filled day. Keep it cheerfully. One of the things that we try to do with our children or we're trying to do with our own hearts is to simplify the Sabbath and enjoy the Sabbath. To simplify and to enjoy. And we're still discovering what that means. So if you know what that means, share with me. I'd love to hear some of your ideas. But maybe it means setting apart certain things that you enjoy just on the Lord's Day for the purpose of honoring God. Now, some of you might decide you don't want to take walks on the Lord's Day. That'd be work. For me, if I get to take a walk, that's a joy. Every once in a while, I like to take my kids out on the back 40. Somebody else cuts it, and I walk on their lawn. And we walk around, and every once in a while, we can have a good conversation about the beauty of God and creation. Cheerful in the Lord's Day. But not only that, consecrate the day with charity. This is the thing I think probably a church like ours misses the most. You know, whenever Jesus was accused of breaking the Sabbath, you know what he was doing? He was to another. Go research it. You go look through the Gospels. Start with Mark 3. When the powers that be would get upset with Jesus for breaking the Sabbath, it was either because his disciples were eating something on the side of the road, or he was healing some poor guy's hand, or helping some poor lady with a personal distress. It was a day of mercy, and it ought to be for us too. You need a list? I can give you a list of nursing homes where there are people who haven't seen a family member in 2 years. People who are so lonely that the Lord's Day is one of the loneliest days of the week for them because they see other people come in who have family and come in and visit because they visit on that day and they have no one to visit. You need something to do? It's not a day of idleness. It's a day of proper activity. Go and visit someone in need. I will tell you, there's nothing in ministry, there is nothing better than sitting with someone who's older than I am and reflecting on their life and just visiting with them. They love for the pastor to be there, but it doesn't have to be the pastor. They would be happy if anybody would come and have a real life conversation with them. And that's not the only means of charity. There might be many things you could do to show mercy to another. You might go and serve lunch at the soup kitchen on Sunday. Whatever you think will help. But show mercy to others. That's a proper use. A good work on the Lord's Day. Consecrated in communion with God and with others. Keep it cheerfully. Set apart some things that are just for Sunday. Show charity. Help others who are in need. And then finally, cherish the day. Consecrate it as you cherish it. You know, you always love what you cherish, right? You love what you cherish. And begin to cherish the Lord's Day because it's time with God. That might mean you actually do things more simply. You know, when you have lunch on Sunday, we use paper plates. We never bring out the real plates. So if you're offended when you come to the pastor's house, if you ever come to the pastor's house because we don't use paper plates, it's because we ain't doing dishes that day. You can throw them away. Works just as good. So we can come away from something, but it's the reason we use paper plates is not, I don't care about china or paper, so it doesn't matter to me. Maybe it matters to some of you. You can still use your china, that's okay. But the point is, can I get to be a part of John's life and can he get to be a part of mine? Can I cherish the gift that God's given in people? And as you do that, you will enjoy the Lord's Day. There are do's and don'ts. But mostly, there's a heart that is motivated by the enjoyment of God. Focus there. Dr. Robert Rayburn, who's the president, one of the former presidents of Covenant Seminary one time, about a man who walked by on one Sunday, and he saw a guy as he was walking by who was in need. And so he walked up to this poor beggar, and he pulled out the money. Pocket and he had $7, and he walked up to the man and he gave him $6 because he felt for him. The man, who was evidently on hard times, took that $6, and as he took the $6, he took a swipe at the man, punched him in the face, took the other dollar, and ran off. What do you think of that man? Is he someone in need or is he a scoundrel? You know, our hearts need to be careful and how we view the gifts of God. He's given us 6 days for the wonder of our work and one for the joy of Him. Rejoice in the joy of the Lord. It is a day of gladness, a day of rest, a day to remember the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Lord's Day. And Father, I pray that while it calls us away from some things that we enjoy greatly, that it would be a day that calls us to which we enjoy the most, You, our Lord. Draw us near. Draw us in. Draw us close. And help us to celebrate that which You enjoy, the worship and love of the Father. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.